Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the podcast about Jason Sudeikis. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by Jason D-Box Frisbee. I gave him only the one nickname because we are now currently in talks to end the podcast Cold War. But he still has good theme music.
I'm still not sure how to react to that theme music. It's going on week three, and I don't want to say I can't live up to the hype, but that's a lot of hype.
I think that's the proper amount of hype for somebody of your stature.
Oh, okay.
Somebody I know goes out and fucks hoes after he rocks this podcast.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. And this week we have two special guests on Pool Party. Jeremy Morrison and Faith Von Awesome.
Hello.
How are yous guys doing?
Swell. How about you?
I'm doing great. How about Jeremy L. Morrison?
Jeremy L. Morrison is doing great. From now on, I think I will refer to myself as Jeremy L. Morrison. So Jeremy L. Morrison is doing pretty damn good right now.
Oh, good. Third person. Woo!
Let's do the whole rest of the podcast in third person.
Jeremy L. Morrison doesn't like when Faith is facetious. Jeremy L. Morrison finds that very offensive.
Jeremy L. Morrison thinks that Jeremy should get his panties out of a bunch.
Jeremy L. Morrison likes to freeball it, so I don't know what's in a bunch.
It's like a Michael Crichton book.
Well played, sir.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. And raptors will show up.
What?
He wrote Jurassic Park.
We're right. Yeah, he did. Totally.
Yeah, so you guys are on the show because you have big news that I want to talk about. Big American news. You guys, in addition to doing your own show, Jeremy, you're doing the Acid Pop Cult show, which a lot of the listeners of this show listen to, according to iTunes. You guys are going to be doing a new podcast. I want to learn all that I can about this. Tell me about this podcast.
Well, The podcast is, drumroll, it's called Lady and the Douche. I am not the lady. I am the douche on the radio show, the podcast. Faith would be playing the part of the lady. And pretty much we're doing what every cool podcast does. We talk about movies, we talk about TV, we talk about current events that are affecting the movies and the TV in which we love and hate to love and love to hate. And we also will be giving advice. Faith and I have known each other for about 4 years. And kind of what struck me with the whole idea of the podcast, whenever she asked me if I would like to do one with her, the cool thing about it is, you know, we have a history that I'm not going to get into, but we're best friends because of that history. But we disagree on everything.
Pretty much.
So it's a, point, counterpoint kind of podcast, you know. Faith, did I miss anything? Did I miss any bullet points?
No, I think you nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah, I did.
you can...
Hey, fuck off. Jeremy L. Morrison didn't like that.
Good one!
Exactly. Thank you, Parker.
I'm here with the drops to help out.
When's your first episode coming up?
First episode is half in the bag, and we're going to record the other half this week. It won't be up before this podcast airs, this episode 56 of Pool Party Radio, but it will be up before 57. And you can find it at LATD Radio. latdradio.wordpress.com, and you can also follow us on Twitter, LATD Radio, at LATD Radio, for all of the info on the first episode. And, you know, you guys know, because you're in the podcast game, once the first episode is submitted to iTunes, you can always listen to it on the web and stuff, but it won't be on iTunes for about 36 to 48 hours, so that's why I'm giving that leeway that it might not be up before this episode goes to air.
We had kind of hoped that we would have the first one done by the time that we were, you know, lucky enough to be on Pool Party Radio.
Waited my whole life for it.
But then it was like 1 week that I was open and I was available. Like, Jeremy was in LA and had things going on. And then the week when he got back and before he got the boys, I was slammed with work and I couldn't, like, I had too many things going on. And then I had a birthday, and I'm sorry, but I'm not recording on my birthday, so...
See, that's a novice.
So we got half of it done, and so we're going to record the other half. But we're, you know, obviously going to record a new one on a weekly basis. And, yeah, it'll be fun to tune in and hear us argue about everything.
Yeah, pretty much the one night that everybody else on Acid Pop Cult are not available, Faith is available. So it kind of works out great in that aspect. So I'll be able to record with her. For sure, you know, like every such and such night, and it will go to air that week. So it's not conflicting with Acid Pop Cult. So any fans of Acid Pop Cult, look forward to more great shows on that podcast as well.
Now, when you say that you're going to do this show weekly, will it be weekly? Because Acid Pop Cult seems to come out randomly, and I don't mean randomly the way that people who listen to Saturday Night Live say randomly. I mean it in the truest, most literal sense of the word randomly, just at any interval at all.
Yeah, that in large part is because of me.
I'm blaming on Roxy for a second.
You know what? It's both of our fault, because Roxy's got the day job that she just cannot get around. A lot like Faith. Faith's got a great day job that she really can't get around, but her evenings are open, to whereas Roxy's aren't. So whenever we record for APC, we try to get them out weekly. I try to get them out weekly. And for a long time, everybody was fighting me, saying bi-weekly, you know, we don't want to blow our load before everything. Or before we don't want to run out of episodes before, you know, we're finished with the podcast. I'm like, that won't happen. If we do it weekly, we'll always have something to talk about. Now Roxy sees it. Now that it's more just Roxy and I and Lee or Chris come on whenever they can make it, it's more of a set schedule. Like, we'll have a new episode this Friday. We had a new episode last Friday. The previous Friday, we had a new episode up. We had a two-part episode, actually. So it's down to a better science for APC. And we're not relying on me to record and cut. So if I'm in LA shooting something, I won't be missed. I mean, the fans may miss me. I don't know if that's... You know, I don't know. I've never not been on an episode, so I don't know how the fans would react. But I'm very humble and modest, and I don't think that I don't deserve one podcast, let alone two. and I also don't think that I'm the greatest part of the show. So it's the three of us, or the two of us, and sometimes the three of us. So I'm excited that Roxy's actually going to start editing and stuff as well. So we are consistently getting the episodes out, and Faith comes up from a film background. So she knows how to edit, and she's very internet savvy, so she can post and everything. So,
Faith Fun Awesome.
Exactly. So if I'm in LA, you know, I can break away for an hour and record a podcast, you know, and make sure that it's being handled by my counterparts, who are, you know, Faith and Roxy on the, respective podcast. I'm drunk. I'm sorry.
It's quite hard. I am a little sad that you didn't blame everything on Roxy, though, because that's what us professional podcasters do. Earlier, when I said that we would be recording this show late because of Frisbee, I was lying. I was eating pizza. So you have to blame the hosts for everything.
See how that works?
Yeah. I was on at 9:31. I'm like, hey, we're ready to go? He's like, yeah, but I told him we were running late because of you, so I'm eating pizza. He's like, well, sorry, I'm chewing in your ear. I'm glad you admitted to it, man. That's big of you.
It is big of me, but I will say that Roxy's schedule sucks from time to time, and Chris and Lee don't like to do the podcast without her. They don't think that it works on a two-person dynamic, and I'm like, listen to Pool Party Radio. Two-person dynamic is fucking awesome, you know?
I did like the last episode you guys did, which was just two of you.
Yeah, yeah, and we've had more two of us than we have three of us, so I don't know where they pull this fact out that we need to have three, but I love them, you know, for it, because it is... When we have the third wheel, it does have more of a he said, she said, and then that person over there doesn't agree with either of us kind of feel to it. But it works whenever it works, and I think that it always works. After the fifth or sixth episode, if people out there haven't checked us out yet, start with like five. Well, go back and listen to three because Tiffany Shepis and Parker are on, but forgive me for the, you know... It's kind of choppy. We're still a young podcast at that point, but I think at like five or six, it really picks up. The Debbie Rochon interview that I did, I think that's when we became like semi legit in our podcast game.
Yeah, that's what we said when we were little kids here at Pool Party. We said the first five episodes, forgive us, they're gonna suck, and then after that, you have no more. Like after episode five, you hit a milestone where like you know you can't really suck too much more. Like you get listenable. And then after a year, you hit another milestone where if you're not good yet, you have to give up.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that to say that Faith and I are just going to come out of the gate swinging is you know,
I haven't done ludicrous. A podcast in a really long time. So I'm still, you know, I'm getting my sea legs back.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the conversations that we have and everything, like, on just say a phone call, just us being friends are great, you know? And so the fact that
you should be recording this.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that she wanted to take it a step further and say, you know, we should do a podcast, says that she was ready, you know, to finally co-host a podcast, which I think she should have been doing a long time ago. But, you know, we're going to have the growing pains, but it won't be that long before we're listenable to coin your.
Now let me get this straight. You make phone calls to your friends? That's what you're telling me? Is this what people
do? Yeah. It's so weird because people with iPhones think that it's just for Get Glue, but you can actually call people too.
I have yet to discover that app on my phone.
I think it's making calls shaped app. Like a phone.
I haven't taken the time to figure it out yet. I haven't. I like downloaded it months ago and haven't even opened it.
Which I have to say a fuck you to Parker, a friendly fuck you, because you would talk about Get Glue on Junk Food Dinner, and you talked about it on Pool Party. So I downloaded the app, and I can't get off the fucking app. I blame you for my my decline in trying to better myself as a human being in social settings.
Well, Get Glue is very fun. I always hated it. I think I said this on Junk Food Dinner recently. I always hated it because people would attach it to their Twitters, and like that's very annoying. Then I tried it, and it's the best thing that could ever happen to a person that likes watching TV.
Yeah. Yeah, like the episode that hasn't come out yet for APC, it'll be out Friday with episode 56 of Pool Party. I talk about my newfound love of court shows, and I won't talk too much about it because it's on the episode and whatnot. I want to bait people into listening to the new episode of As the Pop Cult, but I do talk about my new love of court shows, and if you follow me on Get Glue, you're already getting that, because every fucking 30 minutes, I'm checking into Judge Judy or fucking People's Court or Batman the Animated Series. Like, it's nuts the way that I'm living my life, and now I have a history to go back and say, oh my god, what the fuck am I doing with my life? But I love it!
Yeah, that's understandable. Yeah. I leave off some of the more embarrassing things. Like, the other day, I was watching, like, this, like Skinamax Shannon Weary movie from like 1995.
Nice.
I better leave this off of Get Glue. I don't want anybody to know.
I will say that a fan of the show of Acid Pop Cult, Pool Party, and Junk Food Dinner, Miss Danielle, she added us. She added Acid Pop Cult on Get Glue to get her assistant editor sticker. And now people can check in that they're listening to Acid Pop Cult. She tried to do it with Pool Party Radio, but it keeps denying her. And what's really weird is if you go on Acid Pop Cult, it says that we're similar to Pool Party, which is the Aquabat song, not your podcast.
Well, that's bogus.
Yeah.
And the Mike and Sawyer were similar to Mike and Sawyer as well, but nobody's liked them or checked into them. But I have to. That's kissing contest, correct? Mike and Sawyer. So I think that they found us through iTunes and said, okay, well, these guys are similar to, because if you go on our iTunes page for Acid Pop Cult, it says that we're similar to you guys in Kissing Contest and Junk Food Dinner. Mm-hmm. So that's really awesome that we're on there, but I'm kind of sad that we can't get you guys on there yet, but we're working on it because I would like to check in whenever I'm listening to you guys.
I would also like to check in. Pool Party is the only podcast I listen to, so I'd be checking in quite a bit.
You asshole.
JK.
That's bizarre that's not showing up, but instead using the Aquabats theme or the Aquabats song. I did not anticipate this to ever be a problem or a thing ever. Did you foresee this, Parker?
No, I did not. But now we have to kill the Aquabats, clearly.
Yes.
but not until they at least get season 2 in the can. Sure. That show's kind of fun.
The Aquabats Super Show is pretty great. You haven't seen it yet?
No, sadly.
You don't have a DVR part?
No, well, I technically am paying for one. I just haven't picked it up from the cable place yet.
You should do that so you can watch your Aquabats.
He's afraid of the mountain lions.
I'm so afraid of mountain lions and harsh wind that I think.
It messes up his hair.
Make the wifey do it, man. That's what you pay her for, right?
That's why I paid that Russian to come here and marry me, yes. Yeah, I need to. I'm also missing out on Randy Jackson's America's Best Dance Crew, which sucks, because I haven't missed an episode since, like, season 2, and now I'm missing the whole goddamn season.
Sorry. What is the appeal of that show? It's another one of these reality shows that I know is very popular.
Yeah.
But I've never watched an episode, so I'm convinced that it's nonsense. But I came in the other day and saw my brother watching it. I'm like, oh, the dance crew? Really? Like, neither of us were in the dance crew. Like, none of us were breaking or stepping up or...
Yeah, electric boogaloo.
Exactly. Neither of us electric boogalooed. So, yeah, I'm very curious about this show. Have you all watched it or something? Am I the only one who's not watching this show?
No, I've not seen one show.
Do not watch reality television. I think it's ridiculous.
Well, it's not like a reality TV show.
Unless my friend's on it, then I'll watch it.
They don't follow these people around or anything. It's just each week, different crews from different cities come out and dance. And
however, if I was going to watch a reality television show, it probably would be one like that, you know?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. You get to pick your favorites. You get to watch all of them.
You're probably like sitting there in your chair like, yeah, and like shaking it, aren't you? I can see it, Parker.
They do entire Lady Gaga episodes. You
should... Ew. Ew.
Shut up,
come on.
Jeremy.
Come on with you and your ew.
I'm over it.
Yeah, well, you listen to a lot of shit, too.
Unacceptable!
Again. Thank you, Parker.
Yeah, but it's a good show. I mean, the dancing is so fresh and inventive. I've talked about it multiple times on Junk Food Dinner, and those guys make fun of me, but I love watching people dance. And
I did not know this about you.
In the morning and, like, busting out in a move.
Yeah, well, I try to. Every time I sweep, I try to do like that scene in Breaking One where I get like real.
Nice.
But it.
Fair enough.
Is that the one where he starts sweeping on the ceiling?
No, in the second one, he dances on the ceiling. But in the first
that's
one,
right.
Locks hey, pops around with a broom.
Fun fact, when he's dancing on the ceiling, that is the same room from A Nightmare on Elm Street Part 1.
That's true.
What?
Just blew your mind.
Yep. Mine is
I tend
blown.
To do that. I tend to do that. Every time I'm on, I blow Frizzy's mind over something. Last time it was Die Hard. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is true. One of these days, you're just going to give me an aneurysm. You're going to give me some weird fact about the movie Labyrinth, and I'm just going to die. Yeah.
This is the episode where Frisbee learns so hard he dies.
With the get glue thing, yeah, I think my entire listing would be embarrassing because the only show I ever watch is Adventure Time. Ever. That is it, period. No other shows, just Adventure Time. Only listen to Adventure Time.
Well, so much as the guys from Illogical Contraption don't follow you on Get Glue, I think nobody will make fun of you.
Oh, that's fine. They can follow me. It'll just be Adventure Time all the way. And just confirming their theory that that's the only show I watch. Seriously, it would be that and Star Trek The Next Generation. That's what I've been watching recently.
You a big LaForge fan?
No, Data. Huge Data fan.
I was Data for Halloween once.
Really? Did you do you went all out then? White makeup and everything?
White makeup, hair slicked back, and my grandma actually sewed me the costume.
That is excellent. Did you have contacts?
No, I was too young to even conceive what contacts were at the time.
Star Trek First Contact, he means. The DVD of that movie.
Yeah, did you wear those first contacts on your eyes?
Yeah, I did. I bought two DVDs. I got a time machine, went in the future, bought two at a used store, because I'm not paying fucking wholesale on those DVDs. Mm-hmm. And then went back, Marty McFly'd it back, and put them on my eyes, and people were like, I don't get it. And I was like, dude, you will. You will.
I genuinely hope that Marty McFly as a verb becomes a thing. I love that now.
It will, once we invent time travel. That's what everybody will be saying.
Time traveling? I'm going to say I Marty McFly'd my way.
I thought that was like an episode of Family Guy. I thought I ripped that off, but thank you for letting me coin it.
Yeah, it's all to you now. That's where it's going into Webster's Dictionary. Origins, Jeremy L. Morrison.
Yeah. We're not watching Family Guy. We'll credit you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right on.
Also, if you almost want to have sex with your mom, I believe that's Marty McFlying as well.
It is, and that's not the case on my end. But I just heard a news story where fucking a chick gave her son up for adoption when he was like, she gave birth, gave him up for adoption, found him 16 years later, it started fucking him.
Oh, that's so weird.
Well, she knew it was him?
Yeah, she knew it was him, sought him out, started fucking him, and the kid knew it was his mom, and they rationalized it by saying that they didn't grow up together and she didn't raise him. So she's currently in jail. And yeah.
Was he underage too?
He's 16. 16 years later, she started fucking.
So she sought him out just to have sex with him.
I don't know if it was just to have sex with him, but that's what
happened.
What happened? I can't remember. I'm kind of drunk.
kind of.
I could find out and get the info by the end of the show if you guys are that curious.
I just think that's insane.
Apparently it happens more than you would think. I'm told by the friend that brought this to my attention that it's not the first time. There's been many instances where this has happened.
Well, like, if your intention was to have sex with your kid, why even give it up for adoption? Why not just keep it around?
Well, because then it's illegal, and then you're not Marty McFlyin'.
Yeah, that's true. You have to be away from the kid for a while to Marty McFly properly.
Yeah, bring it all back. And it's not like she was fucking... I think she was 30. I think she was 36 when she was incarcerated. So that means she would have been 20 when she had the kid, right? 16 years later, 20. Yeah, math. Smirnoff math, everybody. Sponsored by Smirnoff.
I thought you were going to say that she was 36 when she was incarcerated, which means she was 20 when she actually committed the crime, and you were going to do a zinger on the justice system in America.
No, I'm not that smart.
Court jokes are really my forte here on the show.
See, I watch a lot of court TV, but I just, that one's beyond, well,
nice.
I digress.
Jokes about the judicial system. That's really my bread and butter.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird situation, and I'm very surprised that you said that happens more often than you'd think. But then I remembered that there was a, I think it was a Maury episode. There's a clip online, and like through just clicking around, I found this clip of a dad who was, you know, having this relationship, this sexual relationship with his daughter, who was a teenager. And they're just like, we're each other's soulmate. We found each other's soulmates, and this is it. This is what we have to deal with. They're like, yeah, but that's your daughter, guy.
Yeah.
And he's your dad, lady, so.
That's just creepy.
I stand by the motto that incest is the best. Put your cousin to the test. Father and mother, better grab your little brother.
Yep.
I added that a little bit.
That's actually pretty good. I for off the cuff, that's a nice, like, additional portion to it. It's very much like, what is it? Beer before whiskey, mighty risky.
I've heard the one, beer before clear, you're in the clear.
Say that again?
Beer before, wait, what did I just say? Fuck off.
You said beer before clear and something clear.
Yeah, liquor
before beer, you're in the clear.
Beer before liquor, you'll never be sicker.
Right.
But all of that is horseshit, because if you're drinking Stella, if you're a true fella and you drink a Stella, ain't nothing going to break you down.
Yep.
Yeah, I think so much as you don't drink alcohol that's supposed to taste like some sort of fruit, you'll be okay.
Oh, I concur, Parker. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Smirnoff that I'm trashing down. It's just regular Smirnoff. Just triple diluted vodka. Ain't no cherries or fucking bananas in here.
Are you still doing shots?
I think I'm going to do number 5 right now. Because this episode is going so well. I would like to toast you guys.
Cheers. My vitamin water to you.
My wine.
Hello.
Yeah, so
Oh, that one came back up.
It's not chilled or anything, so it's just going down hot.
Ooh.
What was that great?
Yeah, that's yuck, dude.
It was last minute. I forgot that I was going to partake. I got some Stella upstairs in the fridge, but we're already recording, so I'm doing the words. This is why you should tune in to Lady in the Douche Radio Rambles.
Drunken rambling.
From the douche.
You want to know why that movie sucks, Faith? Like, that's going to be me the entire time.
Yeah, that sounds good. I will definitely listen to that. As I've mentioned many times before, drunken podcasting is my favorite kind.
Part of the Red Band Network. RedBandNetwork.com.
All right, well, now we got to go to a segment of the show that used to be called Frisbee Got Mail. Now it's called Wave Your Fingers in the Air So Frisbee Can See Where You're At.
Thanks, Parker.
I try so hard not to crack up when you play that song, but I just can't take Kid Rock seriously at all, ever.
I take it very seriously as a threat to everything good in the world. So here we go.
Yeah, pretty much. The end of civilization, as we know it.
Hell, Detroit.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Good.
This week's email comes from Blake Mikesell. It's titled Dang, and he's talking about the discussion about seeing movies in theaters during like the 80s or when we were younger and how raucous they were. He says, first talking about the D-Box experience, he says, I can't wait to wiggle around and text. It'll be so much better than texting in a bus or a moving car. Looks like I'm not privy to this great technology as I live across the street from Studio 35 in Columbus, and they don't go for this new fashion 3D and shaky seat business. I have all these free passes to movies at AMC locations, at least 4 free passes, but I won't go, not even to see Cabin in the Woods, probably because I can't shaky text. I can't shaky text at Studio either, but it's across the street and has many beers. Then he goes on to mention the movies and theaters as a kid. Also in the 80s even, perhaps the early 90s, movies were the biggest party you ever heard of. When I saw Willow and Gremlins in the theater, the place was so packed, people were sitting in the aisles. And I actually remember, going away from the email here, I remember that happening for a few films that I saw, but that just seems so weird now. Like, I can't imagine
they're kids.
Yeah, exactly. Like, back when
they'd shut the whole place down. Fire marshals would be everywhere. It'd be chaos. People would die. People would get trampled.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be nuts.
Totally. And again, like, I'm not sure why I forgot about people sitting in the aisleways, but that was a thing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you wanted to sit with your group of friends, but if you were at, like, I don't know, Showcase Cinemas, and they had that one half of the section, or, like, you know, the one portion where the seats were about 8 seats deep, but then the other side was, like, 5 seats, and you had 6 people going to see a movie, then there'd be a person in the aisleway if, like, the row in front or behind were totally filled, too. So, yeah, it's bizarre now to think of that happening. But yeah, he says, the place is so packed, people were sitting in the aisles, throwing things all over. People took what they wanted, sex without shame. It was a rocking party. Willow had a film strip issue in the middle, broken movie for about 45 minutes, but the party went on. These theaters didn't even have alcohol. Now I go to packed theaters and all I get is loud, stupid people and cell phones. I blame social media. Or was everyone in the 80s loud and stupid and we just didn't know it? Maybe I was loud and stupid ages 2 through 11. It was certainly that age when I was hanging out with Webster and the Bicycle Man. a very creepy episode of Webster that he's referencing right there. The pedophile episode. Are we all familiar with that one?
I'm not, but I apparently need to be.
Oh, it is gross and weird. You can probably find a YouTube clip of it, like on the weirdest moments of like 80s TV. And they're trying to do this kind of like after school special sort of thing about how some adults are creeps, basically. And Webster and one of his friends are visiting this guy who's like a bicycle repair guy. And he looks like he's in his late 50s or early 60s or something, like an older dude. He likes kind of tries to egg these kids on to like try alcohol. And he goes, wow, it's really hot in here. You get to take your shirts off. And then he pulls out a camera and he's been giving these kids booze and everything. Webster realizes that something's up and he ditches his friend. He leaves. And, like, it's never addressed. It's never addressed. Like, Webster, you left your friend there. Like, I'm glad you told your foster dad about this problem, but way to be a terrible friend. You left a man behind.
Never leave a man behind. Doesn't he know that?
Yeah.
He's behind is getting molested. It's terrible.
Well, I guess that's the lesson.
Yeah, and that's what he's referencing here. And then he signs off. Fingers in the air, Blake Sell.
I still don't remember a time like this. I think the most raucous I ever saw a movie theater was like I played with like a Care Bear while seeing the Care Bears movie. Like I don't remember a time when movies were this raucous.
Yeah, this is where I feel Space like Camp. I'm at a
Space Camp. I remember Space Camp and people were sitting in the aisles.
Weird. See, I'm younger than all you guys. Not to say that like a dick, but
you are.
I didn't start going to movies until Batman Returns, you know, so, and that was lame.
Not the experience.
Really?
Like, yeah, 92.
I can't imagine if I never went to a movie theater until 92. Like, you miss pretty much the best decade of movies.
Well, I was a fetus.
Well, you know.
That's hardly an excuse.
Your mom has good taste in films, though. What, was she watching them? Was she going?
No. My mom is mostly a shut-in. Like, she's like me, crowd scarer.
I think I sat in the aisles for one movie, Arachnophobia, I believe, starring Julian Sands. I don't remember it being like a party atmosphere. I think everybody was like really upset. Like, everybody just wanted to see the movie so bad that they begrudgingly sat in the aisles.
I do remember that like happening for a few different films. For some reason, I remember it with National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation.
Yes.
Like, people were standing and, like, sitting the aisleways for that movie.
To Return of the Griswolds. I'd fucking sit on my head if I had to.
Yeah, it's a great. Yeah, people were in the aisles for that. I'm pretty sure people were in the aisles for Pulp Fiction. Yeah, and that just seemed totally legit. It was very normal.
I went to the drive-in a lot, so I always preferred the drive-in over a movie theater.
I think that
I'm still kind of that way.
Yeah, yeah.
That's in like fact, the one good thing about Ohio is that we actually have a lot of drive-ins.
Yeah.
Even the Dayton area, there's like three of them. The one closest to me on Dixie, they're showing the Avengers on a midnight showing, I think tonight.
Really? That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't even hear that.
I didn't know about it either until earlier this afternoon. I think a lot of the attitude spilled over into those older theater seats, like when people were actually sitting in aisles and shit. Because at a drive-in, you're basically just like sitting however the hell you want. Usually, my recollection of going to the drive-in was in this old Aerostar minivan. And
nice.
You know, just like opening out the back hatch.
Did you sit on the roof?
Once or twice, yeah. Did sit on the roof. But yeah, just basically opening up the back hatch and sitting inside like the folded down chairs. Pretty awesome. Pretty sweet deal. Yeah, there's like a ton around Dayton specifically, like Dixie, Fairborn, Melody 49. Or is the Fairborn one Melody 49? Skyborn, I think that's the Fairborn one.
There's a lot of them. I think there's one here. I couldn't imagine going to a drive-in here, though, because it's like 110 degrees until like 2 in the morning when it suddenly becomes 10 degrees.
And then there's the mountain lions, too.
Also the mountain lions and bears. Scorpions. Yeah.
Rattlesnakes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It just seems crazy to go outside at night.
They shot a part of Chillerama at the drive-in. Which I'm sure you picked up on if you've seen the film, but that was local around, like, I think it was about an hour out of L.A. or something like that.
I'd like to do the cemetery, though.
Oh, the Hollywood Forever?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That was fun. I got sick because I went to see The Wizard of Oz and I was in shorts and the sun went down and I didn't know I was going. I thought I was going to go home and get rest because Rifkin was working me very hard. And instead he's like, oh yeah, we're going to go see The Wizard of Oz at the Hollywood Cemetery. I was like, oh, fuck me. And I was in shorts and a t-shirt and had to sit on wet grass. Hated it.
Yeah, that's something you need to be able to prepare for and bring the proper essentials.
Yeah.
Like a movie made in the last 90 years.
It had a great turnout. And the following week, they were actually playing The Thing, but I wasn't able to make it to that one because I was shooting. It would have been awesome to see The Thing out at the...
See, that would have been perfect for me.
Yeah, that would be good stuff.
Where we sat was like right to the left of us was one of the Ramones, Johnny, I think, Johnny Ramone's statue.
Ah, yeah. I've been wondering...
Gravestone?
No, not as great. Like, he's got a memorial monument, whatever. It's a statue of him playing the guitar. It's Johnny, right?
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
First up in the lightning round, TV science personality Bill Nye was booed in Texas for saying the moon reflects the sun. Bill Nye, the harmless children's edutainer known as the science guy, managed to offend a select group of adults in Waco, Texas at a presentation when he suggested that the moon does not emit light. But instead reflects the light of the sun. He references Genesis 1:16, which reads, God made two great lights, the great light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. The lesser light, as Bill Nye pointed out, is not a light at all, but only a reflector. At this point, several people in the audience stormed out in fury. One woman yelled, "We believe in God," and left with three children, thus ensuring that people across America would read about the incident and conclude that Waco is as nutty as they'd always suspected. I like Bill Nye the Science Guy a lot. I watched him all the time as a kid. He had those excellent music videos at the end of each episode. So this kind of makes me bummed that he got booed for stating fact.
Well, I don't think...
I don't understand. Yeah, that's just... Where was he? Utah?
Waco, no. Texas.
Oh, Waco. I was close. That would have been my second guess.
Yeah, like, while the people who booed him are no doubt completely ridiculous and probably stupid, I don't think he was getting booed for the facts of it. I think he was getting booed for phrasing it like, hey, remember Jesus? He was lying to you about the moon. I think that's where the boos came from, not just the fact. Like, if he would have just been like, hey, guys, the moon doesn't release its own light, I don't think anybody would have booed.
I know what you're saying there. And even then, it's like, this stuff isn't written by Jesus or anybody else. It's just a bunch of dudes. Like,
the whole Bible is written by Jesus.
Authored by Jesus. Mm-hmm. For Jesus.
Even the stuff that was written before Jesus was born. That was written by
dictated but not read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah. Very silly, though. We believe in God. Have you ever used that like as an excuse for why you have to leave someplace?
Yes, actually, I have. I was actually in L.A. And I was asked to stay, and I was like, I got to go back for Easter. I believe in God, and so do my kids, so we need to go worship an Easter bunny. So it was recent.
Believing in God is why I walked out of the movie Lost and Found, starring David Spade.
Oh, no.
Yeah, this is crazy. Like, to walk out of... why, if you were, like, opposed to science, why even go to Bill Nye the Science Guy's show?
Or were they there just to... you know, potentially catch him in saying something that's against what the Bible says?
Nah, it's Texas. They don't give him that much credit. That was said by Jeremy L. Morrison. You can find me at jeremylmorrison.com for all the hate mail. Thank you very much.
This is very pretty, and the old men there are nice.
I once seen a tumbleweed, and I was like, nah, you can keep it.
Oh, tumbleweeds are cool.
Says the man in the desert.
Yeah.
I'm in the Windy City. I got leaves.
It seems like you would be in the correct place for tumbleweeds then, all that.
I would be, but there's no, like, you know, there's nothing to tumble except for all the leaves that fall from the tree that are around all of the buildings and the you know, city structures that have advanced in the past 40 years.
Yeah. The only tumbling going on in Chicago is the tumbling that those hipsters are doing on Tumblr as they post their pictures of their Pabst Blue Ribbons.
I was going to say the only tumbling is that of the Chicago Bulls once D-Rose got hurt.
They all just fell down simultaneously.
And I am a Bulls fan, so that hurts myself. I hurt myself, guys.
It's understandable. It's a conspiracy.
We got beat so bad last night. What the fuck?
Embarrassingly bad. So what's the next story on the lightning round, Mr. Frisbee?
The next story, we have Octomom. She comes back onto the scene. She signs on for a self-pleasure video.
This...
Octomom may be declaring bankruptcy, but she's still very much the master of her own domain. Octo has signed on to do a masturbation video. She's hooked up with an online adult entertainment company and will shoot the video this summer. It will be released shortly thereafter. Not a lot of post-production, we're told.
Unless they're going to add CGI, like, you don't need post-production for that kind of thing. But, who on earth would buy this, I wonder?
Probably the same people that are buying the China porn.
Yeah.
This does not have any appeal to me, Jeremy or Faith. Are either of you attracted to Octomom?
No, ladies not at first. All. Not in the least. I think she's... Oh, God. She's something else. She's a real piece of work.
Yeah.
I don't want to see her. I don't want to see her naked, let alone jerking it. That just... No. Sorry. I'll pass. Next.
Not to play devil's advocate, but I will watch this video. Because, A, I love porn. And, B, it's like, you know... If a kid is on fire, do you put it out or do you just watch?
You just watch.
Exactly. So I will be watching Octomom as she puts her as she lights her 8 kids on fire.
She's got 14 kids.
She's got 14 kids. She was just pregnant with 8, hence Octo.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like for a long time, like I've read a bunch of interviews with her and seen her on Howard Stern and stuff, and like she's always talking about how she doesn't want to do porn because she's asexual. So that's probably going to translate well into like a really hot, steamy video, I would think. But yeah, I don't want to see this
on my clitoris.
What if it's like a squirt video or something? I don't need that in my life. But yeah, I'm also not attracted to her. So
okay, well, Faith, the more graphic you get with this, the more excited I'm getting, and it is May Masturbation Month. All right, so let's calm this down.
Who deemed that you?
No, it's a thing. What? It's a thing. Get on Tumblr. Get on Tumblr. It's a thing. May is masturbation month.
I don't follow all the porn sites like you do, so I'm not hip to these kind of things.
Guys, you know this, right? May is the masturbation month. You know this, right?
I only know that May is Avengers month.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's a recent thing.
Avengers.
It's every year for me.
No, I swear to God. I swear to God. And this isn't the porn shit I follow. It's only masturbation month in the United States. It was a fun, weird fact that I retweeted on Twitter.
I guess I forgot to put that on my calendar.
Well, I jerk off a lot, so I need to know these things when it's socially acceptable for me to jerk off. You know?
Right.
You have to be abreast of all the new wanking off information and schedules sometimes.
Stop saying abreast. Or thrust or penetration or rocket.
I'm already hand in the pants. The other hand, however, is on my fancy iPhone that you can make calls from. What the fuck facts?
Allegedly.
What the fuck facts? Only in the United States of America, May is labeled as National Masturbation Month. What the fuck facts?
Wow. This used to be America, and you used to be able to masturbate in any goddamn month you wanted to.
Exactly. What the hell? Why is May exclusive? I don't get that.
Because it's also Mother's Day? I don't know.
Oh, that's gross.
Oh, no.
It's all Marty McFly back in our faces.
Marty McFly back in our faces. Best line ever.
We hinted at something about masturbation, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, where you can no longer masturbate for a fee or get paid to masturbate in Utah. And that's because I think in like San Francisco, they have much like a Relay for Life or a Walk for Breast Cancer. There's a masturbation for testicular cancer where you basically get people to sign up and sponsor you to masturbate. That's a thing.
What?
Isn't that awesome? And I think it takes place in May, if I'm not mistaken. So I've kind of seen your point here.
It's all coming together. The big picture.
It's all coming together. Yep.
You guys keep saying come, and I'm going to have to fucking come challenge you.
coming abreast.
We gotta talk about something disgusting that, well, I'm sorry, something offensive to Morrison over there. I'm not sure if we can find such a subject.
Yeah, we didn't think that Octomom whacking off on film for money.
I know. Who would have thought? Jason, what's next?
Well, keeping that same line of watching really gross stuff, there was a student caught watching Glee and got kicked off campus. Just a week before graduation, 23-year-old Chris Peterman, from Bob Jones University, a very prestigious, very conservative Baptist school.
Yeah, good. If you're watching Glee, you deserve to be kicked out of wherever. Your house, your club, your job, your car, your college. It's the worst show.
Technically, he would have gotten kicked out for watching anything. It's one of their on-campus rules. You cannot watch TV on campus, among other things, like drinking alcohol and whatnot.
They should have stoned him in public for that, though. That's just horrible.
Yeah, the show is just awful. Mm-hmm. And it's ruining music. I remember when talented people sang, too. But now, none of that. We just have stupid kids with nice legs singing these songs, dancing around to new songs. Like, I understand coming out. I mean, I sort of understand coming out and doing, like, a Journey episode, singing your stupid Journey songs and stuff. But when you come out in your new episode has that goddamn Gautier song. That song's already out. We don't need a cover version of it. It's out right now.
It just used to be all the rage, though. Like, remember back? Oh, well, none of us remember back to it. But if you go back to like the late 60s, one person had a minor success with the song. Dozens of others would release their own versions of it. So like, there's that Louie Louie song. Everybody did that fucking song.
Yeah.
When it came out.
The difference being, though, that other musicians would do that song and not other failed actors on a shitty sitcom.
True.
True that.
I will say that Britney is hot in her naked pictures, but you can hear about that on Ask Pop Cult. Go over there and listen to about that.
Yeah, I was going to reference that. That's something you discussed on your show. Attractive legs on these kids. Just not a very interesting show for, well, everybody here on this one. Well, Peterman, the expelled student, says the dean told him the content of the show was morally reprehensible, quote unquote, and against the school's values. He actually says that if it was because he was watching Glee, and states that if he had been watching basketball, for instance, the situation would have been fine. So maybe it is something to do with Glee. Maybe this Bob Jones University has something going on right here for once. So,
well, I told him to take the Gaga episode off of his DVR, but he didn't listen. So whatever happened.
Yeah.
Here we go again.
That Gaga episode was the only good episode.
You fucking assholes. No, I think that it's I think he's right. Had it been basketball, he probably would still be in school, but you know, Glee ruins everything. It ruins this kid's college education. Well, ruins my music. they haven't done a Nicki Minaj episode, thank God.
Well, last story this week. Tyler Perry's Madea studio is up in flames. Tyler Perry's kingdom is on fire, and not in a good way. The Atlanta studio complex, where his popular Madea movies are shot, caught fire Tuesday night. According to reports, a 3-alarm blaze broke out at Tyler Perry's studio shortly before 9 p.m., and one building had partially collapsed. I've not seen a Tyler Perry movie. I just know that they're very, very successful and well-watched. This guy is, like, filthy rich because of his work in entertainment.
Can I just say, you're welcome, America?
So you had a hand in this?
Statute of limitations is up in a few years. I will talk to you then.
Yeah, this is sad. If all of the studios and all of the sets, you know, and, like, all of the wardrobe of the Tyler Perry movies burned down, then he would be out like $20,000 in production values.
You're so horrible. I'll spend more on my next car than he has production value. That's good. I like that.
Oh, thanks.
That was a very tongue-in-cheek studio savvy joke, Parker.
I'm Hollywood insider.
Sounds like.
But yeah, his movies are terrible. If this results in the slowing down of his production, and
Isn't the cast always the same, too?
Pretty much, yeah. Except, like, his cast is always the same, except for, like, there's usually one washed-up actor that he brings in, you know? Like, it'll be, like,
Chris Rock. Bill Bellamy.
Yeah, like, Bill Bellamy will come in for one, and then Tyra
Banks will come in.
Janet Jackson will come in for one. Eugene Levy will be there for one.
He was like, Eugene, I thought you were black. He's like, no, it's just my fucking eyebrows.
They give the illusion that I am a black man.
Exactly.
This is something that's happening in Chicago, so you guys probably haven't heard of it. But Tyler Perry is on the road with a new show. And every day while I'm eating lunch, watching my People's Court, I get a fucking commercial for Madea Got a Job. Come out to the theater and see how Madea got a job. A fucking live production of Madea Got a Job.
Oh, Madea took her gerbs.
Took her gerbs.
Yeah. That's wild. I have not seen a live production. I know that's how he got his start, was like doing these Madea productions live. And I think I only saw one advertisement when I was visiting somebody like either New York or Chicago. And
I have to give Tyler Perry credit, and I actually like the cat, and here's why. If he can make a fucking movie and if he can sell it at a box office, I know I'm gonna be a hit. JMO out. Done.
Drop the mic.
I'm a fucking filmmaker right now. Just push it over. Sorry about that horrible audio. No, but seriously, like, anybody can make a movie, and this proves it. I mean, fucking really? Madea and your shitty fucking movies? I fucking hate you, Tyler Perry.
Yeah, and it's like such played out stupid humor. Like, I might have talked about this, but Tyler Perry was on like Conan and Jay Leno and David Letterman, like all these shows, like when his last movie came out. And, you know, they always play like a clip of the movie. And on each show, it was the same clip. It was a clip where Madea was ordering some drive-through food. And Madea couldn't hear the person working there very clearly through the intercom, so she got very upset. And it was the kind of humor that, you know, was played out like 30 years ago.
Yeah, Jerky Boys were doing it, and people were doing it before they were doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm fine with like, I mean, not everything has to be the most original, but I mean, that's like, that would be like if Madea came out with a movie that was like, you know, the difference. I don't know. I was trying to think of a hacky 80s joke. If Madea came out and was wearing like a keyboard tie or something, I don't know. And rainbow suspenders. Nice.
So is this the reason why people don't like the Madea movies or Tyler Perry? People who are offended by Tyler Perry and his success with these sort of formulaic films. Like, again, I haven't seen any of these, so I don't even know specifically what is the issue with these movies. What makes them so unwatchable or uninteresting?
Honestly, and I speak for myself,
the racist.
Nope. Fuck you.
No, I mean the rabid racism that's in these movies. I was watching one where...
I thought you were calling me a racist. I'm sorry.
No. Madea was going to fight an Asian woman, and the Asian woman, of course, knew Kung Fu. Stuff like that. Real racist crap that movies also got away from about 40 years ago.
Yeah. I think, Faith, I believe I was in Ohio whenever four colored women or four colored girls came out, and I cleverly tweeted at the time, you know, if four Aryan women came out tomorrow, you know, it would be fucking picketed and everybody would hate it. And, you know, it's just that it is very fucking racist. Like, it's so fucking racist. This guy makes these movies that are just full of the stereotypes that, you know, whites, blacks, Asians, everybody have fought to get over the past, you know, 100 billion, however long it's been since the last Ice Age years, you know. I hate
the last Ice Age movie with Ray Romano and...
Yeah, that movie was so fucking racist. Like,
for its racism. The way they depict that Italian squirrel is that... I don't know. But yeah,
totally bizarre.
The part that offends me most about this, though, is... like, you see Big Mama's House and, like, Norbert and stuff. Like, you know, it's a big thing with, like, black comedians to dress up like old ladies, old fat ladies. Like, Big Mama's House and Norbert, like, at least they put, like, makeup on and, like, use effects to make it look realistic. All Tyler Perry does is put on, like, a shitty dime store wig and a muumuu and calls it a fucking day.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I know he's doing a movie at this point, but one of my favorite comedy troupes of all time, The Kids in the Hall, that's basically what they did. They just throw on a wig and like, all right, here's a dress. I'm done.
Yeah, but they weren't selling it. They weren't cookie cuttering it to the fucking populace and saying, you know, this is our movie and it's got a social message. You know, like they were doing sketches that they were running backstage, throwing on a fucking muumuu and coming back out and like, oh, hello, today I'm the chicken lady, you know, doing stupid shit like that. Tyler Perry has, if you're making a movie, you got like weeks to pre-production or to prepare in pre-production. You have weeks to film. You have weeks in post. You have time to put effort into it. You know, I understand that when he was doing the live show, that's how he did it. But if you're going into film, hone your craft, harness your craft, make it look good and not so fucking ticky tacky and offensive. Like, it's offensive to fucking look at him like that. Like, you're, and it's just for me as a filmmaker, like, you're coming at me with a fucking $1 million, you know, film, and you're going to make all this money at the box office, and that's all you want to, like, give us as an audience? Be fucking Eddie Murphy. Put some, make it art. Make it art. You know, don't make it fucking Kids in the Hall.
Yeah. Also, that's, the Kids in the Hall were, like, putting their stuff together with, like public TV money.
Yeah. Yeah. Lorne Michaels was on a name only. You know, he wasn't giving them shit. That was all Canadian. And it's Canadian money, too.
Like, which is worth way less.
Yeah, back then.
So then, like, the criticism from what I'm gathering is that he does not put in a lot of effort into this stuff.
No, it's completely effortless. It's the same story over and over again, with the exception of who's the last fallen black star at that time, or Eugene Levy. And, you know, I'm not trying to be a fucking mean bigot or anything. Like, that's what it is. It's just shit. Like, I would not like Tyler Perry if he tried harder, or if it seemed that he tried harder. Like, Parker, you hit it on the head. Like, he's just doing it, and he's just doing it like to be a cash cow fucking mogul. Like, Meet the Browns, that's fucking horrible. Have you guys caught that on TBS? That's fucking drac.
No, I haven't, like, watched it, but my friend Jono told me about it for like 4 hours on a car ride once.
Isn't it like, and they've been, it's been on for like 6 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's, I think it's still on. Like, it's been on for a while, and it's the effects and everything, you know, for them to look like a fucking Sanford and Son poor black family, you know, whatever, are horrible. Again, a la Madea herself looking horrible. And the story, it's like Family Matters, you know, if they sucked, like, and didn't have Urkel.
Well, that show would suck terrible.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, like, and another thing I hate about these movies is that Madea beats up kids a lot, like the kids in her family. And that's like for laughs. It's supposed to be funny. Child abuse is funny.
Beating our kids. Oh, this is hilarious.
Yeah, like that. Like, that will literally be the joke of the scene. Is that Madea is threatening to, and then concludes beating up a 7-year-old at the end of the scene.
I think the reason why I hate Tyler Perry the most is because he's doing it and I'm not. So it's a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of envy. But it's like, man, if he can make a movie, why can't I?
How did, like, does anybody even know how he got started? I know we're all such big fans, but.
Well, I'm, it's just like Frisbee said, that he started with the live show.
Yeah, how do you get like the production for the live show? Is it, I see where she's coming from. Like, does this have its roots back when he was like in college? Did he do like
was he an aspiring filmmaker his whole life, and that's the only thing he wanted? Like, I'm just curious. I really don't care.
I don't know. I honestly wanted to be a real filmmaker and couldn't. So he just started doing like this lowest common denominator crap.
Well, I think personally, a little bit of both of those. Like, he wanted to be Eddie Murphy, but realized he wasn't funny, but still went after it anyway.
Yeah.
Like, and then he's seen Eddie Murphy do like the Nutty Professors, and he's like, well, he's not funny anymore. So now I know I can do it.
It's my time to shine.
Yeah, it's like me. I'm like, Kevin Smith is about to retire. Fucking, I'll be the next Kevin Smith. Why fucking try to be something great if I can be that?
Kevin Smith retired about 10 years ago. Let's be honest.
You asshole.
Well, on that note, that's the end of the show.
Woo!
I would like to thank Faith and Jeremy for coming on this show.
Thank you for having us, fellas.
Indeed. You guys want to throw out your websites and your Twitters and everything?
Go, ladies first. Oh, I'll do it. Sure.
No, go ahead. I was wondering if you were sober enough.
Well, this is usually the time on Acid Pop Cult that I fuck up, so why not fuck up on Pool Party Radio?
Woo.
You can find Faith and I's podcast is Lady in the Douche. That's latdradio.wordpress.com. We can also be found at latdradio on Twitter. Faith is Faith Von Awesome on Twitter. I'm JMO on show, or J Moons Ho depending on how you want to look at it.
Nice.
You can also find me on jeremyelmorrison.com. It's really just my Tumblr, but it's just it's that so that I can, you know, have that website later. It's not always going to be my Tumblr, but right now it's my Tumblr. I'm lazy. That's all I got for that. And then, of course, you can find me on acidpopcult.com. You can find me at acidpopcult on Twitter. And you can also check us out on iTunes. So if you rate and review us, we're more than welcome to read that on air and give you a shout out. Plug anything that you want us to plug. And we're also having a geek off right now. So for the next couple weeks, if you guys think that you can out geek Chris, myself, or Roxy, submit your photos of your geekiest prize collection, whether you've got it at a convention, a swap meet, or, you know, the alley behind the local theater where you buy your smack. We want to see it. You can post that on the Facebook page at facebook.com/acidpopcult. I think I'm done.
I think you got them all.
Yeah. Didn't I?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. And it wasn't on APC. Like, I always fuck it up on APC. I didn't fuck it up this time. Wow.
Well, just take the MP3 of this episode and copy and paste it into all your further episodes so you don't mess up.
Good idea.
Yeah.
That's what we do.
I'll do a fuck knows.
Because you're interested in good music. That's why. But go to poolpartyradio.com. We've got episodes, lots of episodes. All the episodes are on that website. You can also find a link to the iTunes. Our iTunes, for now on, will not have all the episodes on it. Every time an episode goes up, one of the first ones will go away. That's just how it's got to be. The first two are already gone. If you want some of these early episodes that suck real bad, you can go back and grab them, or you'll have to go to the website. And if you're like me, you really like the iTunes, having them all in the iTunes because you've got OCD. So if you need that, go get those episodes. This is not a ploy for more downloads, more or less.
But this is a ploy for more comments and reviews. So keep those 5 stars coming. And also leave some critiques, some criticisms. We like to read those things. Know what you think.
Yeah, if you think that we're faggots that need to go back to the 90s, let us know.
Can I just tell you that now since I'm on? No, you know what? I'll save it. I'll comment because you guys need the comment. I'll give you that comment later.
Excellent. Yeah, I think we have like 29 comments on iTunes. So if we can get to 30 to appease my OCD, that would be great.
Please do. You can email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And we'll read it on the air with the Frisbee's Fingers in the Air segment from, I'm guessing that's what it's going to be called from here on out. And we've also got our Twitter handles, at Pool Party Radio, for all your Pool Party Radio Twitter information. And you can also find Parker at Parker Arizona and myself at Jason Frisbee.
Indeed. I'm also Parker Arizona on Instagram if you want to see pictures of my dog.
His dog is super cute. This might be the thing you need to do next.
I just followed you, Parker.
Yes. Pretty glad everybody looks at those pictures of my dog.
He is pretty cute.
Can I say the Get Glue thing? Because I forgot, and that's not, it's stampeded in my head. We're on Get Glue. Acid Pop Cult's on Get Glue.
Yeah, so check into that.
Yeah.
And check into books at your local library.
And somebody put Pool Party Radio on Get Glue so I can check in that I'm listening to it.
Yeah, please do that. Also, Junk Food Dinner.
Yeah, and Junk Food Dinner as well. And Lady in the Douche, or LATD Radio.
But
I'm talking with my hands right now, but nobody can see it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's all that stuff. Also, check out the podcasts Kissing Contest that we mentioned earlier and Illogical Contraption so that we can end this Cold War via love and the Badland Girls, who we also like a lot. And we are not involved in a Cold War with. So, until next week, this is Parker for Faith Von Awesome, Jeremy Morrison, Jason D-Box Frisbee saying, fuck you, Chelios.